the Observer. They're trying to play with mine and my family's lives, and it's not fair. I'm supposed to have rights. Pierre McLouf, legal director of Bail for Immigration Detainees, said, "It seems that the Home Office has pre-decided the fate of certain EU nationals, perhaps believing that they are easy to remove. But in its drive to deport more people, it is sidestepping legal requirements and legal procedures." Pierre McLouf said, "Whether this is due to administrative or willful neglect may be unclear, but by ignoring the legal steps that EU nationals have undertaken to assert their rights, the United Kingdom is in breach of its duties under the withdrawal agreement." The issue appears to relate mostly to applications sent by post instead of forwarded digitally. Aranea Kugulathas, a barrister and legal manager of Bail for Immigration Detainees, European Economic Area Project, said paper applications were used by many vulnerable and marginalized people, including the elderly and those in detention or prison who found it difficult to access a computer or didn't have access to a valid identity document. The numbers affected could be significant. For instance, out of 1,500 inmates at Wandsworth Prison in South London, almost 500 are believed to be European Union nationals. Aranea Kugulathas, a barrister and legal manager of Bail for Immigration Detainees, European Economic Area Project, said, "Despite having made applications, settled status applications, European Economic Area nationals are being deprived of their liberty and even served with removal directions, both of which they are forced to challenge despite limited access to legal advice and legal representation." She added, "These challenges are particularly difficult for those detained under immigration powers in prisons, some of whom are locked in their cells for around 23 hours a day or more due to the pandemic. Aware of such difficulties, ministers have promised an indefinite period where people who had not applied would be allowed to do so if they had reasonable grounds." Among the cases known to Bail for Immigration Detainees are one where the Home Office failed to acknowledge a settled status application submitted in mid-July, stating that there were no barriers to his removal and removal directions are to be set soon. Another case involved a European Union citizen who, despite submitting a settled status application online, still received removal directions from the Home Office. A UK Home Office spokesperson rejected the charges as baseless, and despite a number of cases featured in the article, have been contested by the Home Office in immigration tribunals, the latest of which occurred on Friday, 30th of July. Claimed the Observer had failed to provide any proof whatsoever that detention or removal directions are being served to those with settled status, to those with EUSS settlement scheme status. They claimed, "Our approach means that should immigration enforcement encounter anyone with EUSS but who may be eligible, we will work with them to enable them to apply and signpost them to available support. If someone has applied to the European Union settlement scheme by 30th of June deadline but has not had a decision yet, their rights are protected until their application is decided."
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
Log on to our website www.parstoday.com/en.
Have you been to Christian churches in Lebanon?
Yeah, well, I actually went there.
When?
When I was in Lebanon.
Oh, this time?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. I've been to Harissa in Beirut. Harissa Church.
I didn't go to Beirut.
on top of the mountain.
It's close
to the Mediterranean.
No, it's well known.
Yeah.
It's well known, but I didn't go there. I went to the south, very rich.
You know, there was this Something that was smoking in the... You can see it in movies also. They smoke something like this, or a sphand, which was actually for the evil eye. But they do it. It's like some kind of a Christian tradition,
yeah, norm,
or something.
Norm. Even the Arabs do it.
What?
Even the Shias do it. Even the Sunnis do it.
You were supposed to start the program.
No, I'll start it.
All right?
Start.
Movement.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Toward the pit.
On Youth Station.
Youth Station. Youth Station.
I am a Muslim, Islam, I be. Allah, my Lord. Allah, my Lord. His word, Quran. Muhammad, Prophet. Praise be upon. I am Muslim for all of time.
Salaamu Alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum to you.
Brother Habib at your service, and with me is
Brother Muhammad Javad.
Yes.
Yeah.
So now we're talking about, brothers and sisters, is Al-Ain, the evil eye, something true? So let's start talking about it on your station.
This stuff that they're burning.
Yeah.
And they smoke it all around the church. Not only the church, but also in the houses,
people, yeah,
or the homes, you know?
Mm.
And they do actually like salt in the black voodoo or voodooism or something,
yeah,
like that, or the black magic, you know? They do it all around the houses. Like, you might have seen it in movies a lot, of course. Like, they spray salt all around the house,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
to prevent the evil spirits.
Like the people here in Qom, you know?
Yes.
There's this, the salt rocks that they,
yes,
use. And they used to take them with them when they go to the mountains. That's what I heard from the Qomi people, you know, because,
yeah,
I know I love Qom, I love the Qomi people.
Or there are some kind of marbles, they call it kharmurre, you know, and they also do it like
they
hang it around their, no,
oh,
they hang
it around
their necks, or they hang it on the walls.
I've also heard that people who, I've heard this, I'm not sure, that if you had, you know, any eye or any, you know, jinn interference, if you could,
exactly,
say it, that you could go ahead and bathe in salt and it'll go away. And we see this in horror movies.
Yes.
You know, like witch,
true,
movies, they put,
true,
salt around them, and,
exactly,
you know, it's like it keeps away the witches and it keeps away the evil and the demons and whatnot.
Yeah, like The Exorcist number 127 or something like that.
We're talking Hollywood.
Yeah.
How about in Islam?
No, yeah, of course. I'm not talking about, I was just trying to show that these things penetrated every culture.
Yeah.
It's not only peculiar or limited and confined to our religion, our culture, our country, you know, our region.
Muhammad Jawad, brother, the first time I heard about the evil eye, it wasn't from an Arab. It was from a Mexican woman.
Mexican woman?
Yes.
Where?
In California.
Nice.
Yes.
Of course. You can't see him in a,
yes,
here anyone, you know?
I live in California. We're in,
yeah,
the border between Mexico and, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have a border with it.
Yeah. I'm friends with them. Yes.
Yes.
I know Mexican culture as well. And the first time I heard it, I was like 6, 7 years old. And I remember asking my mom about,
right,
the evil eye. And I remember she had this thing that we had this in our house that we used to hang. And it was my dad told me at the time that this was also for the evil eyes, for protection from the evil eye. You know the hand of Fatima where it's usually used? They,
yeah,
call it the hand of Fatima.
You could have seen it like in our old culture too, but not now.
No,
people,
it's also
like
available. Why? In Iraq, it's very available.
Yeah.
The hand of Fatima.
Yeah, I know, but in Iran, it's very rare now, these days, you know?
I see it a lot next
you
to
might,
the Haram.
Yeah.
When you kadu alladhina kafaru li yazulun.
Exactly. This verse or the charghuls, the four,
yeah, the four,
the four chapters of the Holy Quran, starting with ghul.
Yeah. And we have this in
Falaq Nas, Kafirun, and Tawheed.
Tawheed, exactly.
Ikhlas, yeah.
And we have a lot of the sayings. It's true. Al-aynu haq. The evil eye is something, it's a reality.
As-sihru
haq, you know, black magic is also a reality.
Yeah.
Of course, they debate on whether their effects are real or not. And we have, for example, Shahid al-Thani,
yeah,
our great scholar, the author of Masalik al-Afham.
Yeah.
And over there, he discusses this topic in, you know, great detail. And I think that that should be for like a specific topic, but now just generally speaking, the idea was available during the times of the Imam alayhi wasalam, and there in no scene did the Imam alayhi wasalam say that no, this is your imagination working, no, it's not real. No, they even taught us how to protect ourselves from such things.
Yeah,
we have various things like Bismillah, yeah, la ba's idhab bil ba's rabb al nas, about Zurara. Or, la, mashallah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, stating that on the thing. or stating the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the thing, mashallah, and whatnot. So, you know, protect it from the evil eye. Now, this really teaches us something.
What is it?
Because there's this unbalance out there. True, there is an evil eye, but at the same time, there's something called trusting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tawakkul ala Allah.
Yeah.
Al-i'tisamu billah. Keep being in the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Or saying some specific expressions, not only from the Quran, but also like it's been very much recommended by the mystics, for example, that mashallah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah al-ali al-adhim. For example, this expression might guard off the evil spirit. You
exactly.
Know?
That's what's available in the sayings. And so we have to, what I'm trying to say here is that, you know, you should not live in this fear or in this drama or this mental status where you're afraid to, you know, say that you bought a house. You're afraid to say that you got married. Because we have this a lot, you know. There are some people who buy houses or get married, and you don't know that they bought a house until, you know, they have to pay the insurance.
Insurance what?
or you understand that they got married when you see their grandchildren, for example. Right?
Yeah.
So it's not to that point. We have various sayings, أَمَّا بِنَعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ.
Yeah.
About the blessings of your Lord, talk of, or
yes.
spread it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes to see his worshipper, his servant, when he gives him wealth, when he accesses wealth on him. He likes to see this wealth on him. He likes to see his abid, his servant, to wear nice clothes, to, you know, fix the house, to fix the outside of the house, not the inside only, the outside as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes to see his servants show off the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in some statuses.
Yes. There are a couple of, you know, problems, issues, and something like that, that is preying on my mind, you know. I just wanted to ask you about these couple of things. Like, for example, one thing that I've been, like, engaged very much in argument, kind of, you know, with lots of people who, like, are not that religious. Normally, when you talk about the genies or something like that, you
paranormal.
Know, paranormal activities or something like that, you know, they're not going to easily accept it, right?
True.
But when it comes to the evil eye, normally they have an experience or something.
Yeah.
All right? They have experienced a kind of bad event or an evil eye or something like that, which is being cast on them or one of their relatives, probably. All right? So it's much easier for them to accept or to talk sense into these guys, all right?
About the evil eye.
Rather than the talking
you know,
about genies, ghosts. No, I'm not talking about ghosts because ghosts, there's...
That's precise debate, yeah.
Yeah, that's a different kettle of fish, you know. But the thing is, about the evil eye, everyone, every culture has some kind of, like, tradition attached to it. And they do special routines in order to prevent that from happening. For example, in Iranian culture, you can see, like, they put the Quran, for example, the book, in their cars.
Yeah.
All right? Or, like, on the entrance to their houses.
Yeah.
Or, as you rightly mentioned, they, you know, carve this verse, you know, on a piece of a stone or something like a marble.
Yeah.
And they attach it or hang it on their walls or on their entrance and the porch, basically. All right? Or they burn and a smoke is fanned all around the houses.
They call it in Arabic harma. Harma.
Oh, okay. Or you can also see it in Christian traditions or Christian cultures.
Yes.
They do it all along. And they do it. They burn a special stuff that I've seen in movies. Mm. All right. I've been to a couple of churches, but I haven't seen one like a priest burning that around.
They have a special. I think it's like they burn it in special days. They don't burn it like on every day or something like that. I think they have the special days where they burn it on.
Probably.
They have the special ritual,
probably,
actually.
Probably, yes. I don't know what day was like. I've been to that church, you know. You also told me about your trip to Lebanon.
Yeah.
Right? Recently, quite recently. You had a kind of...
I actually prayed Salat al-Maghrib in the church.
Right. Tell me something about the trip you had and the experience
we're
you had
talking about
in Lebanon. What was it?
Actually, about this topic, where they burn things and whatnot, it's not only the Christians. There are a lot of familiar things that, you know, it's like an Arab, it's not, I'm not going to say an Arab tradition, but the people of that place have this cultural, you know, norm, where they burn this, like it's like a flower. They take out the seeds of the flower and they burn it, for example. And some of them take out special leaves.
They call it incense.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, something like that. I don't know the precise
name of it. You can also see
it
in Thailand and the Far Eastern countries.
They also do that a lot as well. Yeah, yeah. I've seen even in India. You know, India.
I don't know whether they do it like to guard off the evil spirit or they do it like for their fragrance.
I've seen Native Americans do it.
I see.
Native Americans. I remember we had a neighbor who was a Native American, and of course his house is full of buffalo heads.
Buffalo?
Yes, I am not playing around. And if the police that were at the time where the door opened by itself are listening to this, they would know. Because I remember that I was they sent me to go see, because I was a minor, to go see if there was someone inside, like from the outside, just to look. And I was
very terrified of looking at all these buffalo heads around the house.
They're used to it. It's their culture. You know, and you know, it's, I think they get used to it. From a young age, you know, you're just seeing buffalo heads around you. You get used to it, you know.
I see.
You see a lot of animals on the street, and you get used to it.
Okay.
So I remember one day he was sitting outside, and he was, I don't know, meditating, if you want to call it meditating, if he was praying to something, to either the gods of the wind, because they believe in the gods of the wind, the gods of the sun, the gods of the water,
yeah,
and some of them the gods of the river and whatnot. And I remember he was putting the smoke around him. You're smoking something, and it smelled like, you know what? The Arabs that they use, bukhur. Bukhur is incense.
You don't call it oud?
We call it bukhur, because, you know, the Iranians, they have the stick, right?
Yeah, that's it.
India and China, they also have the sticks.
The stick, yeah. The Thailand.
The Thailand. But the Arabs, they don't like sticks. They so take it with their hand and they put it in. They put it in something that burns, and
like a pipe or something.
And it doesn't, you know, make the small smoke that you Iranians and Thailandese have. No, makes big smoke, Arab smoke.
You know, frankincense. The Christian fathers, in fact, burn that too, like the frankincense. You know, kondor. Okay, you were saying.
Of course, you know, there's also. You cannot deny the fact that there are jinns. You know, there are some things that are paranormal, you could call them. You can't deny them. You can't. Sometimes you can't prove them. Sometimes you can't deny them as well.
Even atheists come to believe such things.
Because of their personal experience.
Of course, depending on where
their personal experience and where they live, yes. And I know atheist football players, you know, they believe in getting jinxed or good luck boots.
Yeah. You know, is it advisable to people not to show our stuff, like the blessings that God gives us or bestows on us, to other people because of, you know, fear of being cast, like the evil eye?
Like how I stated on the show, there are some things that, you know, sometimes you talk about, like, yeah, I got a house, you know, don't lie about it. That's for sure. If someone understood by one way or another, don't lie about it. No, I didn't get married and you have grandchildren. Yeah. Or, no, I didn't buy a house, then why are you getting your house insurance for?
So maybe one day they see you with a lot of kids around you, and then they say, oh, what, who are they?
Adopted.
Yeah, probably.
So, of course, you always have to keep in mind that don't lie. That's one thing. The second thing, there are things that Allah has on the tongue of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his household ordered us to, you know, celebrate, such as buying a house, such as marriage. Such as, you know, for example, when you have enough money to build the house, or in some cases, if your horse is pretty good. And, of course, children, when you have children. Yes, don't always excessive. You know, my personal, this is me. My mother won't allow me as well to put, you know, WhatsApp statuses, to be honest. Because when I put a WhatsApp status,
really,
first person that calls me is my mother. Take out the picture. Take out the picture. Even my sister has the same, you know, fear for my mother. So, yeah, don't do it excessively. And just say, mashallah, hawla wala quwwata illa billah. Keep your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may Allah protect us all.
Inshallah.
I hope you guys enjoyed
the
show.
All the bad energy and evil.
Thank you, Muhammad Jawad, you know, for talking about this nice topic.
Thank you very
much. Thank you guys for joining us. I hope you guys enjoyed it as well, as much as we did, because we had a laugh in it. And please join us again on another Youth Station. Brother Habib signing off from now until another show. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you.
food for thought.
Hello everyone, and how about enlightening our minds with the words of guidance from Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. Our affairs are attached to the destiny decreed by Allah. On the contrary, even our best plans may lead us to destruction.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
The light.
A Turkish farmer hails the miraculous survival of two baby goats from deadly wildfires. Sergeant Bayat said seeing his livestock threatened by flames was the most difficult moment in his life. Bayat said although he lost eight of his animals in the fire, he found new life after the survival of a newborn goat. He said the mother of the kid had been killed in a wildfire. Bayat called it a miracle. But there was also another baby goat.
We found another goat amidst the wildfire. She has a baby. There you go. Miracle number two.
Bayat says although his farm was severely damaged, he's now over the moon at the survival of the baby goats. The massive forest fire in southern Turkey broke out on Wednesday, fueled by strong winds. Wildfires are common in southern Turkey in the summer, but local authorities say the latest fires have covered a much bigger area. Last year, a powerful explosion in Beirut turned life around for thousands of Lebanese. Now, a number of people have decided to build a monument in honor of the victims of the terrible accident. 27 individuals and organizations have pooled their efforts to build a giant 25-meter sculpture at the site of last August's explosion. The artwork is called Gesture and is made out of reclaimed metal debris. It looks like it's handing a flower to the city of Beirut. When completed, Gesture will also have a water and light installation. The project was conceived and designed by Nadim Karam, one of Lebanon's most celebrated artists.
Cats are notoriously volatile animals, as we all know. One moment they are purring for your attention, and the next they can't stand being touched. Now, a Canadian firm has come up with an app that can help you better understand your feline friends. The app is called Tabli and works with artificial intelligence. The AI's algorithm was trained at a clinic in the city of Calgary. The developers of Tabli hope their product can be useful for novice cat owners and vets alike. The app can also help monitor the health of cats. Tabli's developer explains how the app functions.
It uses artificial intelligence, so specifically machine learning, and it's coupled with the feline grimace scale. And what the feline grimace scale is, it's and it's a way for humans to be able to determine if a cat is in pain or not based on the ear positioning, the eye positioning, the muzzle, whiskers, things like that. And so we were able to train a machine using machine learning and a series of images to be able to make that determination. So if you're somebody who has a cat but you don't have that training, you can just use the app and it can help you determine this, how your cat is doing.
Sounds very useful. The Tabli is not perfect though and runs into problems when trying to decipher the mood of black cats. Despite the hiccups, the developers say the program will get better at doing its task as its artificial intelligence develops through practice. Humans have damaged the environment, perhaps more than any other species, but there are always some who go out of their way to help animals in distress. Known in Cyprus as Birdman, 28-year-old Konstantinos Antonio is a wildlife veterinarian. Every year, he saves hundreds of sick or wounded wild birds. The animals brought to him are usually found by regular people. Konstantinos says climate change has made the task of assisting birds more urgent as their survival becomes harder and harder. The Cypriot environmentalist usually frees the animals after treatment in the presence of other people in order to raise awareness about the issue. A vertical forest has transformed the Chinese megacity of Chengdu into a concrete jungle, making the lives of the residents greener. Each unit at the 8-tower complex has a balcony with around 20 types of luxuriant plants and greenery. The green space filters air and noise pollution while creating a spectacular view. The project in the southwestern city was completed in 2018, and all of the 826 apartments were sold out at the time.
I think it's quite good. The air quality is pretty good and much better than my old houses. The air is good when you wake up in the morning, and the green trees are good for us elderly people. They are good for our eyes.
Besides all the benefits, the apartments have a major problem. They have been overrun by plants and invaded by mosquitoes. The issue has forced some of the occupants to move out. Other cities around the world, such as New York and Copenhagen, have also launched similar green housing projects.
The best visited multimedia exhibit in the world known as Van Gogh Live. The experience has opened in Munich after being postponed a number of times due to COVID-19.
Van Gogh is just the most famous artist in the world. He is also a prototype artist. He is the last artist who then tragically dies at the end. His life story was just fascinating, and that's why he is Van Gogh. But of course, his artworks are fascinating.
Featuring some of Van Gogh's best-known works, the exhibition is not only a feast for the eyes, but the senses with music and smells to accompany the colorful projections. The exhibit is supposed to smell like the countryside because of where Van Gogh lived. However, the organizers say visitors cannot really experience the feeling due to wearing masks. Van Gogh Alive, the experience was first presented in Singapore in 2011. Since then, the multimedia exhibit has been seen in 70 cities and has attracted some 6 million visitors. Conservation measures have managed to bring the world's most endangered cat back from the brink of extinction. In 2002, there were less than 100 Iberian lynx left in the wild. The situation prompted officials in Spain and Portugal to save the animal through a captive breeding program. They also tried hard to fight poaching and reintroduce rabbits, the cat's major prey, into the wild. By the end of 2020, there were over 1,100 Iberian lynx living in the two countries, most of them in Spain's southern region of Andalusia.
The main cause of death for wildlife, certainly in the natural environment, is related to human activities, roadkill, poaching, unwanted encounters. So the less interaction they have with humans, the better.
Despite the successful measures, the International Union for Conservation of Nature still lists the animal as endangered. It's estimated that the species will be out of danger only when its population surpasses 3,000. Urban development, hunting, and roadkill are the major reasons of death for wild lynxes these days. Brazilians have come up with a creative idea to combat population, that is pollution and global warming, repopulating mangroves. The project is aimed at reforesting an area equal to 75 football fields in Guanabara Bay. Organizers hope to make the biggest mangrove garden in the country. Mangroves, which usually grow in tropical regions, are essential to maintaining water quality and clarity. They filter and trap sediments, heavy metals, and other pollutants. Mangrove forests are also able to store 3 to 4 times more carbon than other forests.
The Light is a short bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
A mesmerizing hot air balloon festival has got on the way in the U.S. state of New Jersey. The sky was littered with nearly 100 beautifully colored hot air balloons in different shapes, captivating every viewer. The awe-inspiring event brought together COVID-wary citizens to experience joy and jubilation amid health restrictions. Pleasant weather made the experience all the more enjoyable. The 38th annual New Jersey Lottery Festival of Ballooning is likely the largest outdoor entertainment event in the tri-state area since the pandemic began.
Nostalgia is in the air in Paris as the streets of the city are enlivened, that is, with old vehicles. The French capital has hosted an annual parade called Summer Crossing of Paris. It brought together over 700 vintage cars, motorbikes, buses, and tractors from all over Europe. The route started from a Vincennes castle east of Paris and ended in the southwest of the city. Drivers cross the iconic monuments such as the Eiffel Tower and the Arc de Triomphe.
It is extraordinary because the automobile industry heritage and the Parisian architectural heritage, which is obviously absolutely fabulous, echo each other. We are driving through all of Paris's most beautiful squares.
The 14th version of the event drew hundreds of enthusiastic visitors from across France. People were asked to wear masks and keep social distancing because of COVID-19. Tehran municipality has inaugurated an art garden that puts on display Iran's art and culture. As Youssef Jalali reports, the cultural facility aims to reconnect visitors with Iran's rich past amid increasing preoccupation with modern lives.
Sit back and enjoy the beauty of Iran's ancient culture. In Kushk Art Garden, located in the heart of Tehran, visitors get to learn about Iran's music, literature, painting, and calligraphy, far from the hustle and bustle of modern life. Kushk hosts Iranian artists who create masterpieces that have their roots in thousands of years ago.
Miniature painting has been around in Iran since thousands of years ago. In miniature, we paint flat images with a myriad of details. We avoid adding shades to make it as flat as possible, since in the past, Iranians believed that divine light gives shape to everything.
Metal engraving first stepped into existence 7,000 years ago in Iran. It is the art of incising decorations and metals. In this workshop, I will be available every day for visitors to see how I can turn metals into beautiful handicraft.
Kushk is part of a bigger project dubbed Art Garden. The cultural complex consists of an art lake, poem and literature house, music house, and Kushk Garden, each trying to promote an aspect of Iran's culture. Tehran municipality says it inaugurated the peaceful place, for it says cultural identity has been overshadowed by modern technology.
This precious place was a much-needed initiative to preserve the Iranian art and culture. As time goes by, technology gets more and more intertwined with our daily lives, and our genuine culture slips into oblivion. We need to have such cultural centers that safeguard our cultural heritage.
The Art Garden is situated on Abbasabad Hills in downtown Tehran. In recent years, the area has turned into a tourist attraction that houses structures that combine modern technology with ancient culture, such as this large pedestrian overpass called Tabiat Bridge, and the Middle East's largest planetarium, dubbed Mina Dome.
Kushk will be the last piece of Tehran's art garden, and will be a hotspot for a range of cultural activities, all aiming to revive the ancient Iranian art and culture, which experts believe have become a lost piece in today's hectic life. Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Palazzo Farnese is one of the most famous palaces in Rome and is being used as the French embassy. However, some of the rooms there are not open to the public. Now, an artist has come up with a creative way to show the historic building to everyone. An Italian artist known as JR has created a mural art installation on the French diplomatic mission in Rome. The artwork is equivalent to a virtual hole and shows what the building would look like if there were no outside walls. JR has conducted similar dazzling projects on other buildings, including a mural in the city of Florence, providing people with a sneak view of architectural masterpieces.
There is a famous quote, one should always try to turn every disaster into an opportunity. A Swiss hiker with Parkinson's disease has put that saying into practice by hiking more than 1,100 kilometers across the Alps. Yves Aubusson, suffering from the disease for more than 16 years, completed the challenge in less than 100 days last year. During his journey, he scaled high-altitude peaks and crossed nearly 100 mountain passes. Aubusson says his first goal was to inspire fellow patients to be active even if they are gravely affected by the incurable disease. But, he says, his major motivation was to raise awareness of the debilitating neurological illness, which is little known.
What motivated me to do this hike is that I wanted people to know better this disease that is so little known. So I did something that I think was important and that maybe people will relate to. The fact that I did this hike, some people understood it more than I hoped. It went beyond our hopes.
The 52-year-old hiker, previously a professional golfer, is now planning for a new challenge that includes a bike and a tricycle. But he believes that if he could encourage other patients to do sports, he will definitely win his challenge.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam dina.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Almighty, dear brothers and sisters, Salaamu Alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special by IRIB English Radio. We're going to speak about the concept of contentment in Islam. Please join with us. Today, Tuesday, is the 23rd of Zulhijjah, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 12th of the month of Mordad, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 3rd of August, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We bless this moment of today's special by recitation of Chapter At-Tawbah, verse 55.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Fala tu'jibka amwaluhum wala awladuhum. Innama yuridu Allahu liyu'adhibahum biha fil hayatid dunya wa tazhaqa anfusuhum wa hum kafirun.
So let not their wealth or their children impress you. Allah only intends to punish them through them in worldly life, and that their souls should depart at death while they are disbelievers.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
In this verse, it is said to the Prophet and all the Muslims that they would not surprise of the abundance of the hypocrites' wealth and children. That is, they should not imagine that those bounties might cause happiness and comfort for them. Sometimes, these bounties are the sources of worriment, anxiety, and spiritual torments for them. For the sake of possessing some more possibilities, they think they are free from want.
Eyes, I see in front of me. I still can hear your voice calling out my name. And I remember all the stories you told me. I miss the time you were around. I miss the time you were around.
The concept of contentment in Islam. Contentment is one of the most important prerequisites for happiness in life, and unfortunately, many of us don't have it. We have a good car that meets our needs, but we always want a nicer, more expensive one. We have a nice house, but we always want a bigger, fancier, more expensive one. The list goes on. We always think about more rather than saying Alhamdulillah for what we already have. Contentment grants man mental peace, while greed produces mental confusion and disturbance. Contentment raises men to a high mental level, while greed causes men to descend to a low mental level. Contentment makes one love others, while greed makes one hate others. Contentment is a means to spiritual upliftment, while greed leads to spiritual degeneration.
Dr. Fakhr Rouhani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa binastain. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with contentment and the effects of contentment in our daily lives. As we know, whether people are wealthy or, for example, even needy, all people at the time of dying should leave, almost should leave everything here in this world. And nothing but a shroud will be given to the dead person. The dead body is wrapped and is put under the grave, in the grave. We find that Imam Ali alayhi salam indicated that contentment is enjoying this worldly life as much as it's enough for us. It's just enough for us. Okay. At the same time, we find that those people, Imam Ali alayhi salam indicated that those people who take the share of this world as much as they need, as minimally as they need, they live a peaceful and comfortable life. On the other hand, being mercenary or mercenariness and being always, after eating more, buying more, having more, and so on, these unacceptable moral characteristics adds to the problems of people's life. We find that those people who are really very greedy, and they try to have at their disposal whatever other people have gained, these people, little by little, they develop in themselves a sense of excessive love for this worldly life, okay? And it makes them to be very much greedy, to be always mercenary, and to be unattentive to the needs of those people who are really needy.
IRIB English Radio. Recitation as well as translation of Quran.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ.
And we certainly gave Moses the scripture that perhaps they would be guided.
Short commentary of the Quran. Islamic issues.
Institution of the family in Islam is the most beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The life of the infallible.
فجرا جئت بعد العسر يسرا ربنا أعلاك قدرا يا إمام.
All in all, in today's special IRIB English Radio.
Again, we reach to this part. How to achieve qanaa'ah. Qanaa'ah means self-contentment. One of the ways is this: looking to people below yourself regarding worldly matters. In worldly matters, we are supposed to look at people who are below us and do not look at people above us. As the Prophet said, look at the people who are lower than you and do not look at people who are higher than you. This is the more appropriate, so that you don't look down to Allah's favor. If you are sick at this time, believe that there are people with more severe condition than yours. If you feel that you are poor, there must be people out there who are poorer than you, and so on. If you see that there are people who obtain wealth and position higher than yours, whereas he is not smarter nor more knowledgeable than you, then why don't you remember that you've got something he doesn't have?
Don't be saddened by what you see, by all the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry. In your heart lies the key to unwind all the secrets. This life we see. When you feel you've lost it all, when you don't know who's your friend or foe, you wonder why you're so alone. Worry ends when faith begins. Don't be sad by what you see. It's true, life has. always worked for me. Why ends when faith begins?
Now, what are some negative effects of discontentment? Humiliation. One who is not satisfied with what Allah has decreed for him will look with greed at others' property and wealth. He will stretch out his hand to them, which will ultimately result in his humiliation and degradation. Imam As-Sadiq, peace be upon him, said, "How bad is it for a believer to have a desire that will result in his humiliation?" Allama Majlisi, one of the greatest scholars in Islamic world, explains the desire which has been condemned and which leads to a person's humiliation and contempt is to stretch out one's hand to people and ask them to give him something, but asking Allah and praying to him to grant his wish not only does not bring him contempt and humiliation, but it will add to his honor and dignity.
The richest treasure is contentment. The biggest kingdom is contentment. You want to be a king? You can. Be content. كَفَى بِالْقَنَاعَةِ مُلْكًا, as one hadith states. You can be a king, a royal king, if you simply have contentment. You'll be happier than the biggest king through qana'ah, through contentment. Other narrations beautifully describe to us that the best way to achieve relief in your life and protect yourself from stress and depression is to be content. One hadith from Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam states, "Al-qana'atu rahatul abdan." You want your body to relax, to protect yourself from stress? Be content. In another hadith, the Imam alayhi salam states, "Man qani'a lam yaghtam." If you have contentment, you will not feel so depressed. Therefore, this infinite treasure that can take you to the path of happiness is none other than qana'ah, none other than contentment, my dear brothers and sisters. Now the question is, how do we develop contentment? How do we understand what contentment is? Does it mean that's it, I stop trying, I don't pursue a career, I don't try to get wealth in my life? No, that's not the meaning of contentment. Let me share with you some practical ways to develop contentment, my dear brothers and sisters. One way is to think of the blessings Allah has given you and to actually write them. Psychologists, one beautiful word of advice that they give is take out a piece of paper and actually write down what you have. What do you have in your life? You have health, you have a home, you have access to education, you have a shelter, you have parents, you have family, you have friends. What is it that you have? List them on a piece of paper. Reflecting on these blessings will remind you that, okay, there are a lot of things you may not have. That's true. However, you can manage your life through what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. Simply reminding yourself of the blessings God has given you will go a long way in making your heart happy. Over time, you develop the habit to be happy and content with what you have.
Shukran ya Rabbi, shukran. Hadayta qalbi, shukran. Anwarta darbi, shukran. Shukran ya Rabbi,
shukran ya Rabbi, shukran.
That was all for today's special. So we continue this topic, inshallah, on the next episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Until then, believe you under Allah's protection.
يا منزل القرآن يا خالق الإنسان يا ربي يا رحمن شكرا يا رب.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.